North-South Connection. Welcome back to the Temple. Welcome back to Linking Up Luchas. I'm your host, Logan Croslin, and tonight we will look or continue to look at the characters, matches, and drama Lucha Underground has to offer. Let me now bring in my co-host for the night, Jacob Williams. How you doing, Jake?
Whoa, I'm first.
I was seeing if I could catch you off guard.
I don't know. Is that a medallion in your pocket, or you just happen to see me?
Both? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're not excited to see me, that's for sure. No, I'm excited for this final push to Ultima Lucha.
I am always excited to see you, Jake. And I'm always excited to see Jennifer Smith as well. How you doing, Jenny?
We're excited all around, boys, because it's almost time for the beginning of the end. And I am interested to see what we got for these last couple episodes before the big Ultima Lucha, and curious how the booking will play out, because I've, like, from my experience on the ECW podcast, I've come to, like, be very nitpicky on sometimes these builds to these big shows or whatever. And there's a little bit wonky booking that we have to look forward to tonight, but we'll see how it all plays out.
I got you. Yeah, and as you said, the beginning of the end, that is the title of our first episode tonight, of course. But before we get into that, tonight we will be looking at the episodes from 7/15/2015 and 7/22/2015. Or July 15th and July 22nd. But before we get to that, Jenny, I'll stick with you. What did you think of what we discussed last time?
Y'all had a good episode of the podcast. I listened to it today. I do still believe in dragons, though. I don't think that dragons aren't real. So y'all can stop with all that. I'm with Schiff on that. Gotcha. And trying to remember some of the points. I thought that y'all at least got a good episode, and y'all got a good conclusion, or kind of a cliffhanger on that last episode. And I don't know. I'm struggling, Jacob.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is me and Jenny dodged a bullet, and that we don't have to deal with this Chavo spotlight that they did.
Chavo, that's it. I knew there was some shit
that was very unfortunate for all. And I'm not even like the biggest Chavo hater, but I just feel like he feels very out of place in this whole universe. Like, it feels kind of forced. So that was kind of the big bullet that we dodged. But somewhere what I think we're getting into tonight, it's like them sort of changing the style in that they kind of have to hold things back just a little bit because now they're building through this big show. So we're so used to them kind of like, even to the point where I think at times we've been critical of it at some points, like getting to these payoffs so quickly and like getting to these gimmick matches and stuff so quickly. Like within 2 weeks, they're going from like starting a feud to like them doing some insane match. And now they're kind of holding back knowing that they have this big show coming up. So you kind of see a different vibe in the show. And I think that carries over into these.
Yeah, and on tonight's episode, for sure, we have a good bit of shorter matches, I'd say. They're usually a lot of the matches are usually a little longer, but we have a couple of really quick matches that we'll talk about, and a lot of promos for sure. So but we'll go ahead and get into it. Like I said, episode 36 is the beginning of the end. That's the title. We open with Dario reminding us of the importance of the medallions, the Superfly and Sexy Star rivalry. Dario announcing Ultima Lucha and Pentagon's threat to light Vampiro on fire if he doesn't accept his challenge. We then go to Dario's office where he is looking at the medallions, says they are forged in gold and in the honor of the seven ancient Aztec tribes. Says there are four left, and tonight he looks to put more of them up in matches. Offers a medallion match to Penta, who is sitting with him in his office, and Penta says no. Dario then says he's been impressed with the terror he's caused, and that he would think of just handing him one instead of making him compete for it. Says the power all seven would bring would be something him and his master would be very interested in. Penta then says, I already told you no, and that they aren't interested in medallions, and that he would, if he really wanted one, he'd break Dario's arm and take all of it. Dario then asks what he really wants. He says he's going to destroy Vampiro. He's going to force him to accept his challenge. He'll show Ian Hodgkinson that he has zero fear. Dario then asks when he'll meet this master of his. Penta says he'll reveal himself when the master feels that Penta is ready. Vamp and handsome Matt Stryker welcome us in, along with Mexican Dubweiser, our favorite band. And then they tell us that they will have a Penta, not Penta, Prince Puma and Mil Muertes face off later tonight. So, Jake, what'd you think of kind of the highlights from the previous episode and this Penta and Dario kind of face off in his office?
Yeah, I always like the little recap they do. It makes it they're really good at presenting this almost like a serial TV show where you like get caught up on whatever happened last. They're pretty good at getting in quick with that. But I always love Penta is continued. Like, it's weird because he's like this demon worshiper or like satanic figure or something, but he's also kind of like this dismissive douchebag to everyone, which I'm really into. Like, we had the famous one where he called everyone in the match a bunch of losers. He's like, I don't even need these losers on my team. And then here, like, we have Dario so into his medallions. He's like, look, I don't give a fuck about your stupid medallions. Like, if I hold your medallion, I just break your arm and take them. Like, get out of my face with your dumb bullshit. Like, I just want to destroy Ian Hodgkinson. Sorry, not Vampiro. And, like, even that, like, him being an asshole to Vampiro, calling him by a shoot name, it's just, I don't know. He cracks me up. I love him. Just, he's such a dick.
Yeah, he completely buries the idea of the medallions kind of at the same time as like Dario's trying to get him over this great, awesome thing that he's
and something heard. About the subtitles too almost make it even better because like I can't understand what he's saying. So I just see these dry subtitles. They're like, I have no interest in your medallions. I feel like it hits even harder because I have to read the subtitles.
But yes, last week or at last week as of the show, he had threatened to light Vampiro on fire and doused him in gas. So that was something that happened on the previous episode. But Jenny, what did you think of Penta and Dario's little face off here?
Yes, I didn't want to bring up the gas lighting episode there. I like that. Penta was in a rage but you know, I like this. I like Dick. Penta in the office with Dario. I like him in the ring. I like this story. I like all of this, but why, oh, why does it have to be with Vampiro? Is there no one else on the roster that we can have this feud with? It feels dumb, like for a random commentator. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just, I like the premise. I like how he bitches out Dario in his own office. But yeah, I just wish this was with an actual wrestler.
Yeah. But the Vamp is a lucha legend. Haven't you read his description in those interviews that he does, Jenny?
Sure. Sure. You know he is. He hasn't been in the ring for what they say, 10 years.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Why does Penta care about, you know, I mean, legend. Okay.
I guess he felt disrespected. I'm not real sure what the whole thing is, but yeah, he definitely wants to beat his ass and pretty much kill him is basically what they've been saying. So, we will go to our first match from here. It's going to be a medallion match. It's going to be Bengala versus Daivari. The temple is chanting golden shower at Daivari because he's supposed to be the golden boy. So I thought that was pretty funny. Bengala quickly showing off his amazing balance and athleticism hits a springboard arm drag followed by a suicide dive. Daivari then distracts the ref long enough for Rick to dump Bengala off the top rope. Daivari then starts working the back and with some knees and kicks. Daivari then distracts the ref again and Rick gets some kicks in of his own. Bengala then reverses a whip and hits a back handspring elbow. Back up, they trade strikes before Bengala hits a DDT and a roll-up, but only gets two. Daivari then gets a boot up on a charge in the corner, but still ends up getting hit with a super kick. Daivari then is able to reverse a whip, but Bengala uses this opportunity to dive out and take out Rick. He then catches Bengala on the top rope and hits a superplex, but only gets two on that. Rick then gets up on the apron and tries, and Daivari tries to run Bengala into his big right hand, but Daivari gets hit instead. This leads to Bengala hitting a Chaos Theory for the win. So, Jenny, what do you think of this opening medallion match?
I think Vamp hates Daivari as much as we do on this podcast.
True.
And which is good. It's good to like agree with commentary sometimes. I thought Bengala was has a very interesting look, like a full Bengal tiger gimmick, I suppose. That is what we're supposed to
I think so.
So I like that. Yeah, I like his little ears. I like his little football pads that look like shoulders. That's an interesting touch too. It seems awkward to wrestle in all that gear, but anyway, I mean, I thought that Bengala looked good and was trying to make this into a match, but unfortunately Daivari was also in the match and he's not very good, and there were near falls after almost every move. Like, why are we doing 700 near falls in this 5-minute match? Daivari did hit that superplex. That looked pretty good. But I liked the finish, but overall just felt like a waste of time. I did 1 star.
All right. Jake, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm with Jenny. That superplex is the one decent move we've seen Daivari hit since he showed up. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he sucks. I thought he kind of brought Bengala down, especially in his kind of debut for us. I thought he was pretty impressive for what he was able to do. And I wonder if the near falls were because, like, every time they did something, they had to kind of reset because Daivari can't keep up at all with what he's with Bengala's trying to do. Like, that would be my thing, because he's like slow motion. Like, he's totally out of place in Lucha Underground. Like, he wrestles like it's 1976, and like these guys are all trying to do cool stuff, and he just can't. And even like Stryker is on commentary, and he can crap on like Vampiro, but he's pretty much doing like the JR pseudo burial, like where he's like, look, if you're not used to this style, you're really getting lost. Like, pretty much saying like he looks like shit out there. So I want 1.5 stars, but it's really all on Bengala, because I'd like to see more of him, because I feel like he fits right in with our Dragos and whatnot, because he's got a cool, kind of a cool animal-based gimmick, and he can like fly around a little bit, it seems. So I like to see him in there with somebody definitely that can hang with him more than dumbass Daivari.
Yeah, I went gentleman's too, just because I thought Bengala was pretty impressive. He kind of carried Daivari here, but yeah, I definitely was interested in seeing him more as we go forward. I'm definitely looking forward to his inclusion in the match that we'll have at Ultima Lucha that we're competing for these medallions for, that we'll get to. But definitely interested in seeing more of him, of course. But we'll move on from there. And after the match, Stryker again tries to hype the face-to-face, and Vampiro seems kind of distracted. He then says he has to go to the ring and get something off of his chest. In the ring, he says he's been around a while and traveled the world and shed blood, sweat, and tears all over the place. Says Penta is pushing him to have one more match. Says says his time has come and gone. And despite him covering him in gasoline last week, he still isn't going to do it. Penta is then out, tells him to stop crying. He says Vamp he says Vamp loves Lucha Libre so much, but that's a lie. He came to demand lost my place there for a second. He came here to demand an answer if he's not afraid of him to face him at Ultima Lucha. Vamp then tells everyone his real name. And Penta cuts him off and says, he'll ask him one more time, Ian, will you fight me? He then says, Ian Hodgkinson isn't the person you're going to face, but instead you will face Vampiro. He then choke slams him, and the temple absolutely explodes. They were chanting for Vampiro the whole time, and they pretty much go crazy whenever that happens. So, Jenny, what'd you think of this?
Dude, the delivery on Ian was incredible.
It was.
Just fantastic Penta stuff, like, right here. Just wasted on fucking Vampiro. What the? Why are they chanting for him? Why does anybody want to see this match? I don't understand. I'm too hung up on the why of it. to like enjoy it, right? I'm sure Vamp can talk, you know, all right. He can get on the mic, but who wants to see this match? I just don't get it. And I don't understand why the crowd is so behind Vampiro.
Yeah, I don't really understand the connection he has with the temple for some reason, but I think you'll be surprised by the match. I'll just put it that way. I think you'll end up enjoying it. But Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, it makes
Stop
me wonder.
Crying, if, Jenny.
Stop crying, Jenny.
I love that. He's like, just like earlier, he's so dry. He just comes out. I'm telling you, it's something about the subtitles too. Cause it just, is. I can't understand what he says. And then the subtitle just says, stop crying. yeah. Maybe I was wondering, cause like, I'm obviously not well versed on like Mexican wrestling. Like maybe Vamp is a bigger deal than I realize. You know, maybe. Obviously they, yeah, like maybe that's part of it. And so maybe I should reserve judgment, but yeah, it is strange for me, but Penta was great. It reminded me of 1 8 Mile when he calls him out at the end, like Papa Doc or whatever. And he's like, and his real name's Clarence and he goes to a private school. Like it felt very much like, you know, you say you represent Lucha, but your name's Ian. Like it was very, and he does like that little like,
light shaming.
Like he does like a sing song kind of thing to it at one point, like Ian. It was so good. Like I said, he's such a dick. I didn't like the end though. It felt like Penta just kind of let him choke slam him. Like mm-hmm. I don't know, trying to get over Vampiro as like a badass, and he looks really like an old man kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, it just like Penta's a badass, and he just lets him walk up and choke slam. Yeah. Yeah, like I wasn't buying it. It just seemed too like he got it too easily. Mm-hmm. They're trying to convince me too much that Vamp is like. Mm-hmm. On his level, and I'm not really totally buying it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that for sure. Yeah, it did seem like they kind of played out the choke slam a little longer than maybe they usually would have. So I definitely get that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the match, seeing what it can be. After that, we'll cut back to the back, and Sexy Star is kind of getting ready for her match. She's unloading her purse, and she randomly finds Superfly's mask inside and has flashbacks of the night that she won it off of him. We then cut to our next match, which is going to be King Cuerno and Killshot. This is another medallion match. Vamp before the match.
Oh my God.
Says he's ready to kill someone on commentary before it starts. Big kicks and chops by Cuerno after some early feeling out. Killshot then shows his athleticism by evading charge and springing out of the way and then hitting a drop kick. Killshot then hits a snapmare and a big jumping kick to the head. Then after a quick exchange of reversals, Cuerno hits a beautiful drop kick that knocks Killshot out of the ring. Cuerno then goes for a dive, but Killshot gets a kick in and then flips over the top rope into a rolling cutter. Killshot then hits a unique dive to the outside and hits a Hurricane Rana on the floor. Killshot then has Cuerno on the apron, but Cuerno hits a kick only for Killshot to answer right back with a kick of his own. Killshot is then going for something, but Cuerno is able to kind of turn the tables and hit a power slam on the hardest part of the ring. Back in the ring, Cuerno delivers some devastating kicks. Killshot is then dumped to the apron, but lands on his feet, hits a kick, and then a springboard crossbody, but only gets two on that. Cuerno then evades a charge and eventually scores with a big running high knee. He then hits a poison Rana, followed by the arrow from the depths of hell, kind of suicide dives that he does. Mm-hmm. He then goes for the thrill of the hunt, but Killshot slips out, only to get hit with a flapjack. Cuerno then turns a surfboard stretch into a dragon sleeper, and he gets the submission victory. So King Cuerno wins the medallion here. So, Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of like this pairing. I thought they worked well together. Cuerno is a brute. He's a big hoss. And I continue to like Killshot. Like, I like his kicks. I feel like they always look pretty good with his extremely long legs. So it always looks like he gets a lot of elevation. And he moves very, like, deliberately. Like, he's doing these athletic moves, but I find he moves slow in a good way. Like, it just seems very, I don't know, I feel like it puts some oomph in his moves. But I went 2.5, and it's not really on them. I just feel like they never got a chance to really go to the next gear in this match. Like, I like what they were to do, and I love that finish. That surfboard dragon sleeper looking deal was pretty badass. So I enjoyed the match, but I just felt like they were just getting cooking, and then they got to the finish. Like you said earlier, Logan, some of these matches are a bit shorter than what we're used to. I feel like if this one got a little bit more time, I think they could have probably put on something a little bit more than this, but I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, if they got time to cook, I think this could have been definitely a little better than it was. But it was good for the time they were given, kind of like you said. Mm-hmm. But Jenny, what'd you think?
I'm a little bit lower on it. I think not the time is the issue, but the pacing of the match. Like, I thought they were moving slow, especially Killshot. And he was trying some different kind of moves. Like, they didn't even really know how to call them a little bit. And maybe that's where the deliberation comes in, like him trying to nail these weird moves that nobody's seen. But they looked cool, so I like the moves. I just thought maybe if they had upped the pace, maybe like a step, you know, and really had a, you know, a good kind of, this was plotting, and then you didn't have the time for a plotting sort of grinding sort of match like this. So then you kind of feel like you get a rush ending. And I did like the submission though, for the finish. So I did 2 on it.
Yeah, I'd go 2.5 like Jake did. But yeah, I could definitely get where y'all are coming from. But I think Cuerno's style is supposed to kind of be methodical, so he is a little bit slower pace than the other guys. But I could see where, you know, Killshot didn't really try to up the pace to kind of get him off guard, I guess. That's kind of where you're coming from, Jenny. So that would have been a smart way to work it for sure. But I think he just kind of played to what Cuerno was doing, and he probably shouldn't have done that. But yeah, I definitely get where you're coming, but I would go 2.5. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it definitely, if they had more time, I think it definitely would have been a really, really good match. And I'm sure they'll face each other down the line. But we'll move to our next match from there. It's going to be Superfly versus Sexy Star. I'm not even sure you can really call this a match, but
right.
Fly teases Star to kind of start things, so she chops the shit out of him. He then answers with a drop kick. He then grabs her hair, and she goes low, but doesn't get disqualified. And then she hits a tilt-a-whirl into an arm bar, and Fly taps immediately. So we get about a 30-second match here. Then Marty the Moth comes out looking pissed. Ask if he can call her sexy. Introduces himself, and he said he'd like to see that sweet medallion. Says that medallion she holds is of his tribe, as it features the moth on it. Wants a shot to be able to take it back to his ancestors right now. And of course, Sexy Star, being the overcoming babyface, accepts. So then we'll move on to Marty versus Sexy Star. She starts beating his ass as he continues to try to push her away. He then charges into the corner, but she moves. She then goes up and hits a leaping arm drag, follows that with a wheelbarrow arm drag, goes for a crossbody, but Marty catches her and slams her. He then grabs her hair, which I think we are learning is a trigger for her, because it seems to piss her off whenever somebody does that. She then hits a kick and hits a running crossbody. Marty is able to catch her with a shoulder block coming off the rope. He then locks in the figure four, but she's able to flip it over and escape. She then goes for another tilt-a-whirl armbar, gets it, and gets another submission victory. So she gets 2 back-to-back submission victories. Jenny, what'd you think of these couple of matches with Marty the Moth and Superfly?
Definitely took me off guard when Superfly tapped immediately to the armbar. I was like, okay, I guess we're going to be doing something different here. And they totally blew off that entire feud in 30 seconds. So, yeah, I guess we're done with them. I don't know, unless they come back to that. It seems done to me if you're going to tap 30 seconds into a damn armbar. But anyway, Marty the Moth comes out. Our favorite character. It makes some sense that he's challenging for the moth medallion. I don't mind that little bit of storytelling. I just wish it wasn't with Marty the Moth. So I'm having a lot of issues with personnel, I guess, is my problem. Like, there's good stories, but I just don't like the people in them. Because I just don't like this character. But they do an all right you know, sort of, I called it in my notes a tidy match, but that was a nice way of saying kind of basic. It was pretty basic. You got the hair pulling, you got, you know, basic slams, kicks. Like, we're not writing history or anything here with this match. I gave it 1 star.
I got you. Jake, what'd you think?
Sexy star is like the exterminator. She got the fly, the moth, taking them all out. I'm like, yeah, I did like after. I like the kind of flash pin thing. Well, I kind of like it in a vacuum, because I like that it keeps us on our toes, even though Superfly kind of botched it because he started like tapping before she even like locked in the move. He kind of fucked that up. But I feel like this whole thing would have. Yeah,
literally,
he's like he lost the mask and like completely, like he's lost his power. Yeah. He completely sucks now. But I kind of wish they would have maybe just done blown off the sexy star Superfly thing. I feel like Marty the Moth, like most times, was unneeded. He was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And that was him here too. I get what they were trying to do. Like, they wanted to make like have her beat two people back to back just to kind of continue to get her over. But I think her and Superfly maybe having a good match would have maybe gotten it over more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Marty's such a goof. Like, it just does. I'm not very impressed. Like, he's definitely like in the, even though they're pushing him more now, but I mean, in my brain, he's in the like Pimpinella kind of, mm-hmm. you know, he's in that realm. He's in that realm. So I'm not really super, it doesn't, you know, put her that high. It's like she just beat a jobber to me. So I don't know. I would star and a half. I don't think this was the best back-to-back. This was like kind of weird booking to me. I feel like I like the flash pin as a thing to do, but I think Sexy Star and Superfly needed more of a proper blow off.
Mm-hmm. I got you. I think they were just trying to get over that she's kind of a resilient baby face. She'll accept any challenge mm-hmm. and kind of, she's not going to back down from anybody, and she'll, she's always
any bug.
Yeah, it was any bug she could squash. But yeah, she's the conquering baby face that can take two challenges in the same night and overcome them both. So I definitely think that's what they were trying to get across. But yeah, you know, star and a half. I think she did some good work in there. But I don't know that these are the two greatest people to get her over at the same time. So, but we'll move on from there, and we get Stryker running down the Ultima Lucha card that we have so far. We have Johnny Mundo versus Alberto El Patron, Blue Demon versus Tejano, the Putty Men, aka the Disciples of Death, versus Team Dysfunction, Drago versus Hernandez, Vampiro versus Penta, and Prince Puma versus Mil Muertes for the Lucha Underground Championship. We then go into the ring. Dario is there, says they will witness the greatest fight in Lucha Underground history for the greatest prize in Lucha Libre, the Lucha Underground Championship. He ordered a face-off between the two. Puma is out first and Mill is out next. Neither man has their manager at first, but of course Katrina then starts to kind of make her way down, which Dario yells for her to return to the back. Please come back to the back.
Are not supposed to be out here, bitch.
The Putty Men, of course, are shown bringing a coffin to the ring. Puma then realizes it's a trap and goes after Mill. Mill and crew then attack Puma, only for Conan to temporarily make the save. Mill then snatches his cane and whacks Conan with it. He then has Puma in a chokehold and kind of makes him watch as the Putty Men put Conan in the coffin. And Mill then hits the flatliner before we go to black for the episode. So, Jenny, what'd you think of the kind of rundown of the Ultima Lucha card and then this final segment?
I like the rundown of the card. I think it looks good. We haven't got a lot out of Team Dysfunction. So y'all talked about it on the last episode today a little bit. So I got kind of caught up with that, but I need more of them because I feel kind of out of the loop on what they got going on. Mm. But with this, it's like, what did Dario expect? You wanted the challengers to face off, but you don't want them to fight. Like, What do you want them to do? Sign a contract? There ain't no paper anywhere. What do you, I mean, I like just kind of curious as to what the point kind of was here. Not sure if I missed that. But Katrina looks amazing. Yep. Sean nails it every episode.
I think you mean Katarina.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. Katarina. But Puma, once again, looks a little bit punkish. He gets dusty-ass Conan to come help him. He gets locked up in the fucking coffin. So, like, why are you still associating with him? Why is he still your manager? He's not helping you at all. And you just look like a puck again. If Mill doesn't win the championship, what are we doing?
Yeah, I got you. Jake, what'd you think?
Yeah, I was dying at Dario, like, losing control. It's like the father can't control the kids. No, no, go, please. No, you're not supposed to come down. No, it's like you're ruining the segment. No, this is not the plan. But I'm glad it devolved quickly. I think it was better than them just going like a tropey, you know, stare down interview thing or whatever. Maybe they kind of made it seem like it was going to be, considering these are two people who don't really speak between Puma and Mill is a man of few words.
What was he wanting them to say? I don't get it.
Right. Yeah,
the two mutes, the two guys that hardly ever say anything. He wants to have this big face off of words. So I don't.
Yeah, Mill's gonna grunt, and then Puma's gonna just stare at him. It'd be great.
Get his fucking ass kicked like he always does.
But I like the at first the putty men are like afraid of old man Conan, and I like that they immediately go, "Wait a second, why are we afraid of him?" And they just beat his ass. And the selling is like on commentary is I'm kind of like with Sean where I feel like I'm just like used to him at this point. Like I don't know if they're really any better. I'm just kind of like tune them out sometimes, but their selling is always so all over the place. They were oversell the shit out of like kind of mess stuff, but this, like, from what we've seen in this promotion, like they could literally be killing Conan. Like they've killed people before. Like they put him in a coffin. Like they might be burying this dude alive or like sacrificing him or something, and they're just like, oh my, a grim scene has happening in the temple. Like they're just like
they
really
should have been losing their minds. Yeah.
Right, like it's like kind of a grim, like they're just, yeah, they should have been losing it, like he's going to get murdered, and they're just like, oh, what awaits us on the next episode? They have taken Conan. Bye-bye. Like, it's just weird.
Poor Conan. But no, I'm sure Sean.
Dusty old Conan. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he takes like one cane shot to the kidneys, and he's like done for, so I don't even think they really laid it in that much, but... But yeah, they don't seem. I mean, of course, Vamp hates him, so he's not going to be concerned for him at all. He always talks about how much of a shithead he is, so he probably thought he deserved it, so he didn't want to raise too much concern for him. But Jake, what did you think of the episode as a whole? As that was kind of our closing scene.
Yeah, I went down the middle on this. I went a 5. It's definitely not in the upper tier of what we watch. I feel like they're pushing things along for the big show. I did like the hard sell to kind of get over all this. And I think for building to that, it's done okay. I did like the chaos at the end of the show. You know, this was more like just a totally fine, like, you know, hour-long wrestling program. Like, you could tell they're keeping things a little bit in idle until they get to the big show.
I gotcha. Jenny, what would you go on it?
Yeah, so it's a weird combination of feeling like rushing at the end with the medallions, because... Mm-hmm. The medallions came up a while ago, but all of a sudden we're rushing to get these last whatever four. Would it have been better to pace those out throughout the season? Mm. Or is it better to do it this way so you know who all the challengers is? Like, they're fresh leading up to. But some of those people won medallions like weeks ago, and we haven't hardly seen them at all. So... I don't know. I can't decide if I like this sort of unbalanced feel, like if it's good or bad. But I'm doing 5 out of 10 for the episode.
Yeah, I was just like, Phoenix won the first medallion before, you know, Mill even was resurrected. I think it was like the next week, but that was a while ago, it seems. And, you know, that was even before that, because as we'll get into our next episode, we haven't seen Phoenix since Mill was resurrected and they had their match. So
Maybe the, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't say that yet.
Anyway. I got you. But no, yeah, I definitely think they should have paced it out. I think they have a, I don't know if it's really a problem, but I think they have this thing where they kind of put stuff on the back burner and then they're kind of like, oh, we do need to kind of pay this off and this needs to pay off at the end of the show. So I think they have a tendency to maybe put stuff on the back burner that, you know, have been important stories throughout throughout the season that are kind of being forgotten at this point. I think Sean kind of brought that up on the last episode with kind of Black Lotus. We haven't seen her other than in some highlights over the last, you know, four or two or three episodes of the pod for sure. But I think with that, they know they're not going to pay it off before the season ends. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like an opening to season two kind of paying off, so they kind of want to put that on the back burner and kind of push this stuff that they know they're going to pay off at Ultima Lucha. So I think
I don't mind doing that, like having stuff like running on the background, kind of like a simmering story that's always kind of, but you have to have some development in that all along for that concept to kind of work. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought if they had spread it out throughout the medallions throughout the season, that would be a cool little like running through line or whatever, but then they kind of didn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. It seems like they kind of panicked and were like, "Oh yeah, we need to do this right now." So, but I mean, you know, it ain't all perfect. But I think they could be accused of kind of, you know, forgetting about some things that they don't deem as important as other stuff. And like I said, I think Sean brought that up on a couple of things in the last episode. But I know he was really bugged about the, you know, Black Lotus stuff, and you know, just a couple people hadn't appeared in a while. So I think that was really kind of his issue, but yeah, I think they could be, you know, told that, or I think they could be, you know, if somebody complained about the show, I think they could complain about that little thing, but, it's a small thing in the grand scheme of,
overall.
So, but we will move on from that to our second episode, which is episode number 37 titled Penultima Lucha. So it's the penultimate episode before we get to our big show. Sorry, I couldn't get that out for a reason.
It was hard to say.
It's very hard. Very, very hard.
Pimpinella Lucha.
Yeah, Pimpinella Lucha. There you go. Well, we open kind of with another reminder of the importance of the medallions. So the medallions are probably going to play a part in our episode tonight as well. Cage and Max whole rivalry to this point, and then Tejano and Demon's fight over Mexico. We then open the episode going to Dario's office again. Says he and Rick haven't been seeing eye to eye lately, which I kind of thought was an immediate shot at the fact that he only has one eye.
Yep.
I'm sorry for that word.
That's the one he says later. So that wasn't even the original. So he says Rick was his first big signing, and there was a reason he gave him a big bonus on night one. He had big plans for him. Rick then snaps back and says, "Had," kind of like questioningly. Dario then says he's lost focus and he has been blinded by Daivari's money. That's where he kind of is like, blinded? And, you know, he kind of calls him out for his shit. Says he wants him to emerge from his shadow and get back into the spotlight. He will reveal what the power of the medallions is tonight. Ask Rick what's more important to him, money or power, and then hands him the last medallion. Rick then says, "Why choose when he can have both?" So he takes the medallion, and then Dario hands him a stack of cash. And then before he leaves, he said he's glad that they see eye to eye. Stryker and Vamp and Sergio Rua playing us in, welcome us to the temple tonight. Says tonight Puma will speak for the first time, and it says as a warm-up for their big matches at Ultima Lucha, we will start tonight with Johnny Mundo versus Tejano. But before we get into that, Jake, what'd you think of these first couple things?
Yeah, it was like Austin Powers with the mole, him with the eye. Like, you know, he's like trying not to say, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, poor choice of words there." It's like, you cannot be blinded by the money. I don't know. It's a little checked out on this because it does pop me how much Dario's into the medallions. Like, he's so he's so into it, but I'm kind of checked out on Rick because he's been so, like, you know, undermined. Like, he's what? He's Daivari's lackey right now. That is not high on the totem pole. So it's kind of hard for me to take anything about him rising back to power or whatever. I couldn't really take it too seriously.
Yeah, I definitely struggled with the idea of that as well. When we opened with that and realized kind of what was going on. I hate that he didn't have to earn it. I mean, he could have put him in there with, like, you know, Masquerita Sagrada or something and just made him or gotten a squash or something like that, but he just kind of hands it over. And then he's a bitch and hands over the wad of cash as well. But Jenny, what you think of this?
Yeah, I wondered about how the other medallion winners would feel about this little scene here. And why Dario has such a hard-on for Big Rick. You know, he hasn't fucked with him since, you know, a while ago. Didn't he say on the first night or whatever he gave him the money? Or it was very early in the season. But hasn't really fucked with him since Daivari's been in the picture. So I'm just curious about Dario's intentions with Big Rick. And yeah, I loved all the eye-based humor.
Right. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, I think once Rick and the crew kind of, you know, broke up and split off from each other, I think Dario hadn't really wanted anything to do with him, but randomly he wants to kind of have him back on his side for some reason. So maybe there's a reason for that, but we'll see as we go forward. But we open the night, like I said, with Johnny Mundo versus Tejano. The temple is calling Johnny Zero before the match. They lock up to start. Mundo's kind of acting cowardly early, trying to get sneak attacks and kind of hiding outside before, or as Tejano's kind of going after him. Eventually, he moves out of the way of a charge and starts peppering Tejano with some strikes. He then goes after his knee. Mundo then bounces off the ropes, and Tejano cuts him off with a drop kick, follows that with some kicks and elbows of his own. Tejano is then laying in some punches, and Mundo rakes his eyes. Mundo then thinks he's got the advantage, but gets nailed with a super kick. Mundo then slides to the outside on a whip and trips up Tejano and knees him on the apron before hitting the moonlight drive on the floor from the apron. Tejano then starts to get in, but Mundo knees him off of the apron once again into the barricade and then hits a spinning back kick. Back in, Mundo lays in some ground and pound and a big knee before locking in a chin lock. Tejano then breaks out and hits a couple of big chops and a monkey flip. Big strikes traded back and forth until Tejano hits a leg lariat. Mundo then dumps Tejano on a charge and crotches him on the top rope and hits him with a springboard disaster kick. Goes for moonlight drive again, but gets reversed. Tejano then goes for a power bomb, but also gets reversed into a Russian leg sweep. Mundo then goes for the end of the world, but Tejano moves. Tejano then hits a big boot and an enziguri, and then the crew come out, and they and Mundo attack Tejano for the DQ, only for Alberto El Patron to come out and help. Tejano then starts whipping the crew with his bull rope as Alberto and Tejano kind of had a face-off before we fade to our next segment. But Jenny, what'd you think of this Mundo Tejano match? Jenny, you're on mute.
Johnny Muto.
Yes, I'm Jenny Muto. My bad. This was okay. Like on commentary, they talk for whatever reason. This kind of stuck with me. They talk about Johnny's gym strength versus Tejano's man strength. And I thought that was an interesting comment to make on this commentary. And it got me, I actually kind of zoned out thinking about that for about half this match. Like, if there's a difference between gym strength and man strength, like somebody who develops their muscles on a farm or whatever, you know, doing labor. What do y'all think? I need to know your thoughts.
I mean, I think there's just natural. I think there is a natural strength that some people have, and then you know, I definitely think there's a difference. I don't know what I would definitely describe it as, but Jake, what do you think? I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's more like that Stan Hansen, like beat your ass kind of deal,
right? Like yeah.
Johnny Mundo parkour strength. Right. I would think to a certain extent. I guess I'd probably go with the Stan Hansen strength. Now, I don't know if Mr. Tejano, I mean, I guess he's got more man strength than Mundo, but I don't know if it's enough to really close the gap here. I don't think he's he's not a Vader or anything in my book.
Right, yeah. So anyway, I thought this match was a little bit awkwardly worked. Like, they couldn't really get a good flow, and it was just, but they were getting their shit in at the same time.
Yeah.
So it felt very generic to me. Not a lot of heat. I mean, the crowd was into it, but between them, it didn't seem like much of anything, just sort of going through the motions. The DQ, interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. And then the run-in was predictable. So I did 2 stars on this.
Yeah, they didn't want to give too much away to their opponents, yeah. But and at the same time, they didn't want either of them to lose either. And that's why we get the interference, of course. But Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, it was weird. Like, this was definitely like a key match where I was like, it's a bit different though. I feel like we've seen most of the season, where I feel like most of the time, through most of what we've seen, they're like living in the moment and they're just going for the big moments as they come. Where here, it felt much more like what I'm used to of watching wrestling, where it's building to a big show, where I was like, okay, yeah, run in DQ. You don't want either one of these guys to lose. And then we have Alberto come out so they can build up to the big match. You know, like, the match was fine, but that was obviously not the true focus, was any kind of satisfying conclusion to this. It was just like to get them here, showcase their stuff. And I did like Mundo. Like, that was my biggest takeaway. I kind of like his more aggressive style. Like, I thought in here he kind of actually showed it a bit more. They've talked about it a lot, but yeah. I find here he was like laying his shit in a little bit better than he normally does. Like, it's kind of one of my things with him. Like, when he's more in face mode, I find some of his stuff can be a little floaty. Like, it doesn't always, like, it looks beautiful. Like, he moves very well, but it doesn't always look like it would hurt, really. Mm-hmm. Where here I feel like that neck breaker thing on the apron was pretty cool. I just felt like he was laying his shit in pretty good. Like, he was on his game through this. So I like that. But I wasn't surprised by the finish. They're building to Ultima Lucha. So I went just like right down the middle, 2.5. A solid match that was probably not going to be all that good. And that really wasn't the point.
Yeah, this was never going to get a conclusion. I think it was pretty obvious that, you know, they were going to have a match and some interference was going to happen. I mean, you know, somebody may have won, but, you know, it was going to be based off of interference for sure. So they didn't want to make anybody look bad ahead of the big show. So I definitely understand it. But I'd go too, like Jenny did. You know, it was pretty basic for the most part, kind of like we said, but I do agree that Johnny kind of looked better here with his physicality and laying some stuff in. So I definitely agree with that as well. So not a bad match, but definitely the match wasn't really the point. It was kind of to get to kind of the attack afterwards. So that's definitely that definitely felt like the case there. So but we'll move to our next segment. Dario's in his office this time. He's with Hernandez. He says he's not a fan of galleries or museums, and he's guessing Hernandez isn't either. Hernandez then says, nah. Dario does say he does love art, though, and then says he's done what Hernandez has done with the strap the last few weeks has been nothing short of a masterpiece. A masterpiece is exactly what he wants at Ultima Lucha. So he's adding an extra week to Ultima Lucha, and it's going to begin next week. So it's going to be a 2-week event, and he wants Hernandez to be a big part of it. Him versus Drago won't be a normal match. He says the fans hate Hernandez, and they have given him an idea. He will give a select amount of the believers a leather strap, and if he or Drago goes to the outside, they will have free reign to whip them how they please. Calls it a believer's backlash match. Hernandez then says he hopes that Dario has insurance. Also says if any one of those idiots go after him, he is going to be painting the temple red with the blood of anyone that comes after him. So really, really weird little scene here. But Jake, what do you think of Hernandez and Dario's little conversation here?
Made me want a nice Chris Miller Light. That had to be.
Oh,
be
yeah. Drink
like,
Miller
Light. It was so prominent. It was so prominent. Like, they're like zooming in on it.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. All I can think about is this is like the TNA. This is right the TNA playbook with that Jeff Jarrett fans bring the belts or whatever crap mm-hmm. we watched for on TNA. This is right that playbook. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, they're trying to load this up with, like, we'll see as the show goes on. They're really trying to, like, fit as much into this, you know, big show as they can. So this is like their way of, and I mean, it has build to it. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but we'll see, because in TNA, it wasn't the most, one of the most effective stipulation, but we'll see how it works out here.
Hopefully they actually get like trained people that will do it instead of mm-hmm. actual fans like TNA did, which was ridiculous. But Jenny, what do you think?
The details in this interaction were just exquisite, not going to lie. So Dario's like pouring drinks. He's pouring like whiskey or something. Mm-hmm. And he offers it to Hernandez. He waves it away. So then that's when he gets the Miller Lite out. And then he hands that over. Hernandez kind of takes it casually, puts it on the desk. Dario looks at him like, motherfucker.
And I'm offering you this drink, drink it.
he picks it up from the desk, puts it back into Hernandez's hand, and then wipes off the desk like it made like a little ring on it.
Don't make a ring.
I was losing my shit. I don't even know what they were talking about. I was just watching this happen.
I don't have any coasters.
it was that beautiful soap opera-y detail that I fell in love with. Like, Dario is so good at this. And he's even there with stupid Hernandez, who don't say nothing but like, nah. And gives him nothing to work with. Dario's just chewing the scenery very subtly. Very subtly. I love this. This is great. But then he starts talking about, I'm going to have the fans hate you. Okay. I'm going to have them circle the ring with weapons to beat you. I'd never heard of this before. I'd never heard of this match before. I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. What is going to happen? So
I just love how casually he's like, well, I've heard the believers hate you. So
they hate you. They hate you. And they do. That's a very interesting stipulation to me. Yeah, we'll see how it goes in execution, but mm-hmm. that it's sounds like chaos.
Mm-hmm. yeah, it will probably be chaos, I'm sure.
Okay.
But yeah, it adds a little stip to the match. I felt like it was always going to be some kind of strap match, just because the belts have been so prevalent over the last few weeks. So I think that was definitely going to be some part of the stip, but I definitely wasn't looking to see that the fans or the believers were going to get were going to be the ones with the straps. That definitely came as a surprise.
Now, I have further questions. Should I save them for the actual match or address them here?
You can ask, I guess.
Is he really doing like really giving like normal people that are coming to a wrestling show?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're given the pretense that they can't like actually beat the absolute crap out of them or anything like that. But yeah, I think he's given, you know, fans
like it's for real.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell you,
TNA, there were definitely TNA fans. I could tell you that much by looking at them. They're real fans.
I'm sure it's not like the whole temple, of course. It's going to be,
right, yeah,
you know, so they're going to pick like 10, 12 people, and they're going to say, hey, you know, we're going to give you this. We're going to let you get involved, but, you know, don't do anything stupid, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
That is an insane idea. I mean, that is just,
wouldn't you love to be part of
that? I guess you have Hernandez, so it's like, don't piss him off or he'll like smash
you. Yeah, he'll actually murder you, yeah. he will border toss your ass off the top of the temple. But yeah, it's pretty insane in theory. I'm sure Dario will give him a good talking to before they come out for that.
Better.
But we'll move on to our next match from there. It's going to be another match with Cage versus the Mac. Mac immediately charged and gets hit with an arm drag into a backbreaker. Cage is super aggressive early based on his loss to the last time they faced each other. Mac once again kind of catches Cage off guard, this time with a sunset flip. It was kind of botched, so it kind of a little bit ruined the next thing. But he rolls him up fairly quickly with that sunset flip and actually gets the win. Like I said, it was kind of botchy, so it didn't look the best. But after the match, Cage is kind of pissed, and they kind of battle all around the temple, battle through the crowd, up the stairs, all that kind of stuff. When security is able finally able to separate them, Dario comes out, announces to the crowd that Ultima Lucha starts next week, and that these two guys will face off again, and weapons will be spread all around the ring, and that it will be falls count anywhere, so they can battle anywhere in the temple, and the fall will count anywhere. So, Jenny, what did you think of this short little match, and then kind of the announcement of the falls count anywhere match?
It really was just enough of a match to piss me off, honestly. We like both of these guys. Yeah, we like them both. We don't get to see them like that much. And they were hardcore, you know? Mm. They were doing it. And then the fucking sunset flip out of nowhere. What was that? Was the ending a botch? Because, like, it seemed like that wasn't supposed to happen.
I think a lot of people were nervous on this night, because I think we'll get to a match later where a similar thing kind of happened with the finish. But no, I think that was definitely supposed to be the finish. It didn't go smoothly.
It didn't. And I did like the brawl afterwards. Like, yes. They were really, they were fucking up security. The Mac punched one of them fuckers right in the face. It was awesome. Yeah, that was sick. Like, why couldn't this have been the match? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I guess we created a match out of this for Ultima Lucha. So that's good. False count anywhere. That's a good step for them. So I'm excited. I did a dud for the match, but after the brawl, it ended up being like a good little preview of what's to come.
Yeah, it's another one of those things. The match wasn't really the purpose of the segment. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you didn't even have to rate it if you didn't want to. But, it's definitely just to push the fact that we're going to have this match again next week as part of the big show. It's going to have that stip of false count anywhere. So, Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, this is some good old-fashioned edging right here. Just give us a little taste of what's going to happen, set up the match. I like both guys, so I'm excited for it. I want to see how it's going to play out, because they're not really two, like, street fight guys, like, on the surface. Like, really both have that vibe, per se. But I can see them having an awesome one. And, I mean, the brawl they had after the match was really good. I didn't rate it, because I kind of just thought it was more of a setup for the match at the I keep wanting to call it a pay-per-view, but it's not.
Me too. Me too.
Right. Right. So yeah, this was very straight to the point, but I was cool with it, because I'm excited. It's another cool match for the show.
Yeah, I definitely think just based on the brawl afterwards, I think it could definitely be a banger for sure. And we mentioned talking about the last episodes, we had a good Cage versus Mac match. So I think they've proven that they could have a banger with each other. So add the step. Hopefully they can do some crazy stuff around the temple. And it'll all work out and it'll pay off this segment and the brawl that happened. So, but we'll move on from there. They come back from commercial and Dario's still in the ring, says he's going to let us know what the medallions mean. Says the seven medallions together make up what he likes to call the gift of the gods. He unveils a new title belt, says the person who holds this title is guaranteed a Lucha Underground title match whenever they want. Dario says the catch, though, is that it must be announced beforehand so he can promote it, and it can't just be cashed in. So I think that was kind of a shot at the Money in the Bank for WWE. So I think he got a little pot shot in there. Says if you wait too long, though, you'll have to defend it like a regular title. So you kind of want to win it and cash it in as quickly as possible is basically what that kind of meant to me. Says once it's handed in for a title shot, the medallion process will begin again. They will have a 7-way match for the Gift of the Gods Championship at Ultima Lucha. All the medallion holders then come out, place their medallions in the belt. So the belt is just this big, it's like seven plates, obviously, as seven medallions, but each one has a little circle in the middle, and every person that has a medallion so far places their medallion in a certain circle, and it's kind of magnetized. So it's a really cool kind of interactive belt. I don't know if that's really a thing that is around a lot, but I really like the idea of this title. As Jamie said pre-pod, I'm sure it is heavy as shit for, for that fact. But Dario, they all come out, put their medallion in the circle. Dario then kind of dismisses them, says, get on now, and tells them to get out. It was so funny. And then he tells us that Phoenix's medallion will be back up for grabs due to Phoenix's injury. Says there will be a battle royal, and when it comes down to the last two, it will just be a regular match. Phoenix, of course, then emerges, returning from his injury. But Dario says he was too late, and he'll let he'll let him enter the battle royal. So, Jake, what did you think of this little announcement of the Gift of the Gods championship, and what did you think of the belt itself?
The Gift of the Gods. Yeah, I thought the belt looked awesome. I dug this. Mm-hmm. I think this is a cool thing to do with all the medallions. I like the pageantry of them all coming out and having to, like, put it in the little slots. I thought that was really cool. I liked the whole thing. It's very Dario that his basically his Money in the Bank equivalent has like a million terms and conditions. He's like, he's like, well, you got it, but you got to give me a week's notice. And if you don't defend it fast enough, then I'll set up the match again, and you have to defend it, and we'll restart the medallion process. It gets very convoluted, but it fits his character. So yeah, this is kind of where I expect them to go with it, with all the people involved. I wasn't really sure what else they would do by this point. So I'm totally fine with it. And they've got the guys where they could go in and have like a seven man ridiculous match. And it sets Phoenix up for a triumphant comeback and come in and kind of come in this battle royal. And I mean, we'll see in a second, but I think he's got to be the favorite here.
He's gonna come in the battle royal, huh?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, we were edging earlier. We got the medallions.
Jenny, what'd you think of this whole segment we just had?
This is one of the coolest segments that we've seen in this entire season of Lucha. Like, this was really awesome. We get a reminder about who all has medallions. Big Rick flops his ass in there. Everybody's like, when did that motherfucker get a medallion? What? Like, Sexy was like, okay. But yeah, I love seeing them all together. I love watching them put the medallions into the cool looking belt. Like, that thing looks amazing. And I was thinking, maybe that's why they had to do like this. Maybe the belt wasn't ready yet and they couldn't, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but it looks great. And
that's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know, but I love all the little designs. Like, it looks like it fits, you know, with the temple, and I just love it. I love the aesthetics of it and the idea of it. This was great. Yeah, this was really good. A seven man match is going to be wild with these contestants. Do we have a favorite for that match? I don't know. I don't know who to root for on this one. Phoenix, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, just from a featured perspective, I feel like Phoenix is definitely the person that's been shown the most. But
hey, guys, don't count your chickens. He's got to win the battle royal against that top tier competition. That top tier competition that he's got in that battle royal. Okay.
But I mean, you know, Cuerno obviously could be another favorite. Mm-hmm. I think he's been, you know, he's kind of been put on the back burner. This could be kind of a way for him to emerge, and it kind of fits his kind of methodical way of doing things. So. You know, picking his spot when he's gonna, you know, when he might quote unquote cash it in or whatever. So I mean, yeah, but I mean, from a relevance perspective, I think, you know, Phoenix has been the person that's been pushed the hardest and had the biggest moments throughout the season so far. So
I like how he shows up and he's like, "That's my medallion. What are you doing? Why are you trying to give it away? Well, I'm back, bitch."
You are too late. I will put you in the battle royal, though.
To me, that's kind of dumb, because, I mean, he won it.
True. Yeah, that is true. Very true. But Dario is a conniving son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's true. He makes his own rules.
And like you said, when Big Rick comes out, Stryker's like, I don't remember him winning a medallion. So I love that he points that out. But we'll move on to our main event for the night. It is going to be the Battle Royal for the last medallion, the one that Phoenix previously held. But the people in the match are Phoenix, Arjenis, Daivari, Famous B, Killshot, Marty the Moth, Masquerita Sagrada, Ricky Mandel, Superfly, and randomly out of the cobwebs, Vinny Massaro is going to be in this Battle Royal. So they pulled him out of nowhere. I can't figure out who's going to win this one. I'm not sure. everyone pairs off to start, kind of like in your basic Battle Royal. Famous B hits a pedigree, which excites Matt Stryker. He says it works every Monday. Will it work here? He then hits a leg drop, and they kind of make the Hogan reference as well. But then Famous B also dumps Ricky Mandel and Arjenis right after that. Killshot then starts teeing off on Massaro. He almost eliminates Daivari, but Daivari hangs on. He hits a rolling cutter on Famous B and goes to the top, where Daivari pushes him off, pushes Killshot off, and eliminates him. So kind of an upset for him to go out as early as he did, but you know, whatever, I guess. But Marty then gets drop kicked into the corner multiple times. Famous B is then able to kick Massaro in the head, but he gets clotheslined right back. Massaro is then eliminated by Daivari. Sagrada then gets dumped out onto the apron and hits a monkey flip on Superfly, and he eliminates Superfly and himself from the match in doing that move. Famous B and then Marty then face off with Daivari, and with Daivari's help, Marty eliminates Famous B. So they kind of had been playing Famous B as kind of maybe the upset possible winner of this, but the numbers game finally catches up to him and it gets eliminated. Marty and Daivari then kind of form an alliance. It is short-lived as Phoenix reverses a Daivari attack and eliminates him. So now it's down to Marty and Phoenix one-on-one. They lock up and Phoenix ducks a couple of elbows after a whip, and Marty eventually hits a drop kick. He gets some pretty good elevation on it. So for Marty being as big of a guy, he hits a pretty good drop kick there. But back up, Phoenix hits some big kicks. Marty then catches Phoenix on a dive and hits a slam. He seems to be going for a dive of his own, but he kind of stops right before he gets to the ropes and does the big up yours sign to all the believers in the temple. Back end, Phoenix hits a back handspring elbow, a big chop, a springboard arm drag, and then a big dive to the floor all in succession. And then back end, Phoenix catches, he hits like a botched hurricanrana. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier, but he turns it into the pin when Marty's shoulders like up the whole time. So kind of a botched ending, but I like the action between the two when they were in there by themselves, but the ending kind of ruined it for me. But Jake, what'd you think of this Battle Royal?
Yeah, it was a fine Battle Royal. It was a bit of a, besides Phoenix, a little bit of a jobber fest, but that's okay. Famous B, I thought, got a lot of shine. They want to give him a little bit of spotlight in this one. We ended up with the Moth, of course, who they are in love with. So I never really thought, man. I had enough faith in them that Marty was not going to win this. So I was never really, there's not a whole lot of drama to it. Like you said, the ending was a little bit janky. Marty is not the smoothest either. So it was kind of what I expected it to be, like them go in there, you know, there's some guys, they fuck around for a little bit and then Phoenix wins. And that's pretty much what it was. They kept it pretty quick, so it didn't drag out too long. So it accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish. So I went like 2.5 on it.
I gotcha. Jenny, what did you think of the Battle Royal?
It was not one of the better ones that I've seen. There were a couple of decent spots there. But the elimination started almost immediately. So it was a very rushed Battle Royal. it was like,
I got shit to get through.
Yeah. They had a lot of people to dump off. And so it felt very rushed in that way. I couldn't believe who we ended up with in the fucking final three. Fucking Daivari and Moth. And what? What are we doing?
You had a clear person to cheer for, though.
Yeah, but we were always cheering Ram. But Famous B looks good. He it was a decent showing for him. The rest were just fodder, basically. Phoenix, why is he wearing that black shirt?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Okay.
They say something about, like, Stryker says because of his injuries, but, like, what were his injuries?
Well, like, he was burned. Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like, well, that sort of makes sense.
He got murdered by Mil Muertes. I don't really know what.
If
you got sexy scars, you should just be showing those. So anyway.
Maybe he had a sexy new tattoo that he's hiding until he gets to the big show. So.
That's his new gimmick, sexy scar.
Sexy scar. I like it. I did two on this. I'm glad Phoenix won. I'll say that.
Yeah, I went two on it as well. I'm glad Phoenix won, but yeah, I'd probably go with Jake did if the ending hadn't been as botched as it was. But yeah, kind of a jobber fest. It was pretty clear Phoenix was going to win his medallion back, as he should have. But I mean, they didn't really try and hide it, I guess, is what I'll say. But yeah, not the best battle royal. And I thought the action between Marty and Phoenix was good, but that ending spot, like we said, like Jake said, Marty's not the smoothest, but maybe he'll get better. We'll see. but we'll move on from there. We come back and Vamp hypes Puma talking for the first time, and then kind of talk about the 2-week event that will be Ultima Lucha. Added from what we had last week is Cage and the Mac and False Count Anywhere, the Gift of the Gods 7-Way, and then the Believer's Backlash Stip added to Drago versus Hernandez. Puma then comes out, and he's got a different, darker mask on than usual. They kind of point that out immediately. He usually has the yellow, and this one was kind of like a brown with like orange and stuff on it. So I kind of like the new the new mask he was wearing. Grabs the mic, but of course, we still don't get to hear him talk because Mil Muertes comes in, and Mil Muertes and Katrina come in and cut him off. Puma then lays the belt in front of him and basically signals for Mil to come get it. He is then jumped by the Putty Men, a.k.a. the Disciples of Death, and he is able to actually fight them off. And then Mil comes in, and Puma beats him off long enough to hit the 630, and he ends up standing tall at the end of the show to, he ends up standing tall at the end to lead us into the first week of Ultima Lucha that will be our next episode. So, Jenny, what'd you think of the other matches announced in this kind of last segment?
Yeah, it rounded out the card really well. Like, there's a lot of stuff to look forward to on there. And boy, Mil in a suit, y'all. that was quite the look. I don't know. It has to be custom made, right? Like, it fit like a glove. It was just, he looked incredible. I thought he looked good shirtless, and he looks even better with that shirt on. not really buying Puma at the end here. I thought that was a little, he should have spoke. That's what we were promised at the beginning of the fucking episode. For me to believe this beatdown, he should have done the beatdown and then got on the mic, cut a promo. That's my only thing with this, is that at the end of almost every time we see Puma, he's getting beat down at the end of a fucking segment. And for him to just be all of a sudden on top, I don't know. It didn't hit right.
Yeah, he could have grabbed the mic and his thick Paducah, Kentucky accent said, yeah, I'm going to kick your ass.
Something like that.
Jake, what'd you think?
Why'd they even say that? They should have never said that.
They should have never done it. In the
first place, real dumb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a dumb decision. Of course, he gets attacked like you'd expect. I like Katarina in her Sandy from Greece mode here. But here's the thing. I feel like two parts of this. Don't say he's going to speak, because that kind of puts a damper on the whole thing. And then he's been beaten down so much that I did like his confidence here. I think if he hadn't been beaten down so much going into this, I do think he looks very confident here. Like he does the flips and shit like a superhero. Like he does all his like Spider-Man moves at the end. Like I think they've kind of made us lose a little bit of faith in him to where we don't buy it as much. But I think if they hadn't have done as much of that, he looks pretty good at the end of this. Like, but to Jenny's point, I think it's hard to buy now because he's always been on his ass. So like, I don't know if I can buy into him at this point. So it's tough, but in a vacuum, I do like him hitting his moves and stuff and looking confident at the end. But yeah, saying he like saying that he's going to talk. I don't know what they had to gain. Like, if nothing else, like change the wording, say he's going to address the temple or some, like, don't say he's literally going to talk, like, and then not do it. I just don't know what you have to gain. I guess they're trying to be like, ah, the heel stopped him, but
no,
it feels very stupid bait and switchy.
Plus, we just did a face off at the end of the last episode. Mm-hmm. So we already did this. It's kind of
pointless. I don't know if I would have pointed out that he has never spoken either. They were kind of dumb in saying that, like, he had never spoken for himself, and they kind of call him out, like, you know, he always lets Conan speak for him before that. So I don't even know if they should have really announced that, like, he's never spoke before and this is going to be the first time. So I don't think that was a very good idea.
Yeah, I feel like you either got to, like, address it all the time or never. Like, you either got to be like, when will he, like, build it up? Like, when will he speak? Why doesn't he speak? Like, constantly talk about it or just ignore it?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan of that either. But it does kind of put him over as he's headed towards this big match with Muertes. Obviously, because he kind of got punked out last week by all of them. So. But Jake, what'd you think of the whole episode? And what'd you think of the new mask that he had?
Again, it kind of goes with the whole thing. It's like, I think it's a cool touch, but I feel like they're trying to, like, squish this all into the last, like, 3 minutes of the go home episode to the big show to try and, like, legitimize him. It doesn't seem totally effective. It's like, they're trying to save all the times he's, like, looked like a punk in this 3 minutes. And it's, you can't just, like, do that. But I did think it looked cool. But I went 6 out of 10 on this one. I think it was, like, a hype show that was mostly effective. The medallion thing was really awesome. I love that. I liked Phoenix's return. It's similar to the last one, but I feel like there's a little bit more energy to this one, given that it was the actual go-home episode. So I bumped it up a little bit. But overall, I think, like, both of these got me pretty hyped for the big show.
Yeah. I definitely think these were two good episodes to kind of hype you for the big show, but this one had a little bit better. It did it a little better, I guess I'll say. But Jenny, what'd you think?
Yeah, similar thoughts. Battle Royal, a little bit disappointing, but there were some good progression on some of these stories. We get a couple extra matches. I really loved the gift of the gods belt thing. So I did a bump of 6.5.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd go 6 out of 10 like Jake did. But definitely better than the first episode. But yeah, super hyped for Ultima Lucha that we've got coming up on our next episode. It's going to be, you know, it's a two-parter, obviously. We're going to get the whole crew together and kind of live watch it, check it out together. So nobody really misses out. Nobody gets favored or whatever. We all get to witness.
Never. We would never.
Experience it together, of course. So we'll all get to experience that together when we watch, obviously. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one, without a doubt. But before we get out of here, we'll do some quick awards. Match of the night. Jenny, what would you give that one?
Oh, boy. Now, we did not have a lot of great matches. I think my highest one was maybe Cuerno versus Killshot.
Gotcha.
Or Mondo versus Tejano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably go Cuerno Killshot just because... Yeah. Yeah, like we said, there wasn't just a bunch of great matches on this. I think Mac and Cage could have been, but obviously it was pretty quick squash, or not even a squash, just a surprise win. But Jake, what would you give match of that?
Yeah, I guess I'll go Cuerno Killshot, even though I had a lot of 2.5, so we're kind of all in the same ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotcha. Moment of the night, I don't know if it's really a moment, but I would go with the whole Gift of the Gods championship ceremony, I guess.
I agree.
Yep.
Y'all would both go with that as well.
Yeah.
Cinematic scene. There were a lot of cinematic scenes, but I don't know if there was really one that was, like, super standout. I'd probably just go with the Hernandez one because it made us laugh so much. But, Jenny, what would you go with on that one?
Definitely the Hernandez scene.
I gotcha. Jake, is that what you would go with as well?
I'm actually going to throw it back to Penta saying he doesn't care about the medallions.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is true. That was a good one as well. but Jake, who would be your top three and your MVP for these episodes?
Top three. He wasn't on a lot, but I'm going to go with Mill. He's definitely the hottest in the company. I think right now he looked great in the suit. I think I'll go with, it's hard. This is another one. Just like the matches, not a ton of people like looked amazing. I'm going to go with Penta because his,
yes,
talking mad shit. And then, I don't know. It's weird to go with Mill as my MVP because he didn't do all that much, but it's hard not to. He just has so much presence. Mm-hmm. And I guess for three, I think I'm going to go with Dario because he was all over these. He kind of carried this because it was so much about him booking the matches and his, he had so many good moments, like him trying to stop them from attacking and ruining his segment. No, no, please. You're not supposed to be here. He did some heavy lifting in these. Actually, I might go him MVP now that I think about it. He's the MVP of these.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Jenny, who would you go with?
I had the exact same three, Mill and Penta and Dario for my MVP.
Gotcha. I would throw, I'm going to throw Phoenix in there instead of Mill like you guys. Mill is awesome. I think he gets plenty of praise. So I'll put Phoenix in there because he won the Battle Royal, won a spot back, and he returned. But yeah, Penta for sure. And then I'll agree with Dario. Dario really kind of carried these two episodes, had a ton of backstage segments, you know, appeared in the ring a couple of times, played his role really well. So I'll definitely go with him for MVP as well. But we'll go to plugs from here. Jenny, what have you got to plug tonight?
So you can hear me on Wednesdays right here on North-South Connection with one of my shows. I got a couple to choose from. And also I wanted to talk about a new thing that I got going on over at the Kings of Sport. If you follow them, you can find my episode of a brand new podcast. It's called The Avengers Initiative, and it is a show about the female characters of the MCU. So we had our first debut episode drop last week. You can hear that for free now. And we ranked our top five favorites of the MCU in that episode. That's myself, Nate Milton, and Brittany Monet on that show. So I hope that you guys can check out that first episode and maybe sub up to the Kings of Sport Patreon to catch the rest of that series. You can follow me all across all socials at Jenny Position.
Yeah, definitely check out all of Jenny's stuff. She's the best. So definitely do that. But Jake, what about you?
Yeah, Logan, you're with me on the Ruthless Aggressive podcast. We just covered Vengeance 2003, kind of an out of nowhere, excellent show. So that'll be out before this that we're recording. So check that out. A real fun show. You get to see Zach Gallen versus Vince. But really an awesome show. Pretty much top to bottom. So a lot of fun talking about it.
Yeah, it was almost perfect. As if you listen, we talk about a good bit there at the end. But yeah, just a really fantastic show. And it was a ton of fun to talk about, but, the only other things I have to promote, Jake is also on YouTube Roulette with me. Scott Shiflett and Matt Souza do that with us. Just kind of pick random matches off of YouTube and live watch them together. And it is always insanity, for sure. And then Highway to the Impact Zone. We just did the Genesis 2006 episode. Sean was actually able to join us that time, and he went full mad on that one. He was absolutely insane and said a lot of crazy things. So definitely check that out as well. Who's Next is my NXT pod current day with Andy Atherton. And then I don't know if Jenny mentioned it. I kind of zoned out for a second, but Talking Docs. We just talked about Jeffrey Dahmer. So, and I think it was one of our best episodes. So definitely check that one out as well. But as always, thank you everybody for listening. And we will see you next time we enter the temple for Ultima Lucha.
Stop your crying.
Don't tell me 'cause I can see